So many words come to mind when we think of the story of the cross and the resurrection. But what is the one word that stands above the rest? The word that brings hope to our now, to today? Jesus didn't just die for our sins. He didn't just rise so we could go to heaven. He didn't come to give us life more abundantly one day. 2,000 years ago, Christ willingly laid down his life, but for more than a sacrifice. Seeing the joy that awaited him, he endured the cross, disregarding shame and humiliation, withstanding the horrible pain and degradation.
See from his head, his hands, his feet.
But what was the joy that must have been on his mind and heart? The reason our King of Kings put on the crown of thorns. It was us. He saw you and me. He saw and knew what could be, what should be. With fierce love in his heart, Christ, our champion, had come to redeem the world. A revolution had begun, a revival of creation, a new covenant of love forged by his own blood. In triumph, he cried out, "It is finished."
Identities restored, image bearers of the Almighty God, our occupation reinstated, to spread his reign, see his kingdom come, help restore what he created, exposing every darkness with his holy light. We are now sons and daughters, co-heirs with Christ.
Because when we see the fuller story, we see his fuller glory. So what is the one word that stands above the rest? When we think of the cross and how Christ rose from the dead,
I knew the fuller story of Easter. I was driven to perform and produce. I thought his love for me was based on how good I was, how good I could be. The more I did for him, the more I believed that he was pleased with me, combated my fear of failure by following a formula: do good, do right, be loved, fighting my own battles, keeping my own score, trying my best to be in the war in my head. Had I done enough to win? Then came the revelation of his resurrection and his righteousness. Oh, what a gift. His victory is my victory. I am beloved by my Father for who I am, his daughter, treasured and chosen, fully loved, not based on what I've done, but based on what he has done. Made free to simply be through his victory. Gone is the formula. Now fueled by friendship, living in fullness and freedom. Goodbye, self-effort. Hello, Holy Spirit. The weight has been lifted. I am free to live in the victory that he paid for me. Would you join me as I pray to invite the Holy Spirit to be our teacher today? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you reveal the victorious Christ to each of us? May we more fully grasp the incredible victory that you have won for us. We welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we celebrate with millions of other Christians around the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a man who was dead and rose victoriously to life again. Jesus defeated death and sin, setting us free from those things and making us brand new. And it's an audacious story, isn't it? Maybe you found yourself wondering, why did Jesus have to do the things he did? Why does it matter to me? In our family, we love to tell the same stories over and over and over again. Any other family love to do this? And we've come up with a term for remembering a story even if you weren't there when it happened. We call this AMS, Acquired Memory Syndrome. And it simply means that you've heard the story so many times, you've heard it repetitively, you believe you were there when it happened. For example, my husband, Mike, wasn't in the family when my oldest brothers got married, but he remembers how good my first brother's food was at his reception. And he also recalls busting a move on the dance floor with his Mennonite moves at my second brother's wedding. Now, was he there? The jury's out. But he's heard these stories so many times that he has acquired that memory. What happens when we tell the same stories over and over again is sometimes those details and descriptions, they can grow, they can fade. And often the most familiar stories start to lose their punch because we feel like we know this story. We get it. And I think for many of us, the story of Easter is a familiar story that we've heard many times and we feel like we know the story. We get the basics. And for some of us, I believe that means that the story has lost some of its power in our lives to make a difference. Now, maybe you don't know much about the Easter story. You only know bits and pieces. And if you're honest, you're not really sure what all the fuss is about. This is likely the story that you've heard when it comes to Easter. We have a problem. And that problem is that we are sinners, separated from God. And we have a goal. And that goal, get out of trouble. I do not want to be in trouble. You do not want to be in trouble. And we need that ticket to heaven someday. We want that life insurance policy. And the solution that we're told is that Jesus died and rose again. And that means that we're forgiven. Not sure how all that works. But it also means that we also get to go to heaven someday. Now, while this story is not wrong, there is so much more to the story of Easter. And this is really important because often when people hear that rendition of the story, they're not compelled to explore it further. Why? Well, being a sinner, it feels like an outdated notion. Many people feel, well, I'm basically good. I try to be good, which is why exploring the problem is so important. The goal of heaven someday, it feels really far away, especially if you're young. You really think it's far away. As you get older, it gets a little closer. But what does Easter matter for my life today? And finally, the solution of Jesus dying and forgiving us can all just feel a little bit abstract. What did his death and resurrection really do? And how does that connect to us? The Easter story is fuller and more beautiful than we may realize and remember. And we want to better understand, what was the problem Jesus was trying to solve? What's the goal that he has for us? So that we can fully understand the solution that came through Easter. There is an impact for each of us to know the fuller Easter story. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to explore that story again with a fresh set of eyes and ears. And we're going to discover that it is far better than we remember. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago was more than make it possible for us to get out of trouble and get to heaven someday. He defeated the enemy, he dealt with sin, and he destroyed death. And what that means is that we now can live in victory, not just someday, but today. We have a reason to praise. He has won, and that means we have won. Well, what does this mean, and why does it matter? Well, let's start first with the problem at hand. To fully understand the story of Easter and the amazing victory that Jesus won, we have to unpack the problem. And we discover that problem in the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where we learn that God created Adam and Eve. He wanted a family to do life with. And the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were created in God's image and likeness. They were designed to reflect him to the world around. They were given a job. They were given dominion, and they were put in charge of the created world. And so they were designed to have this amazing life, living in intimacy with God, worshiping him, living in his presence, and stewarding the world he created, which was beautiful and whole. And that was amazing for three chapters. Yeah, it was pretty quick. Pretty quick, we have a problem, okay? And the problem is this. We meet the enemy, And he's disguised as a snake. His name is Satan. And he deceives Adam and Eve. And they disobey God, eating from the tree that God had told them not to. And sin enters the story of humanity. Sin is doing wrong, rebellious, foolish things that are obviously not God's best. And so in this moment, not only does sin enter the story, but our need for a savior enters the story. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But did you notice Adam and Eve didn't die immediately? They did die spiritually that day, and they would need to be born again. But sin has three consequences. There were three fallouts. The first is that sin separates us relationally from our Father. We lose our intimacy with Him. It's broken, and this leads to so many issues. We feel the need to perform. I shared this earlier as I was sharing my testimony. This leads us to feeling like, well, I better do my part so that God can keep up His part. This fuels insecurity in our lives, and we start to operate out of fear, and that not only affects our relationship with God, it affects our relationship with one another. And so sin causes relational issues. Sin alters our identity. We start imaging sin instead of God. We become sinners who do sinful things. We were built to be imagers, and Satan has hijacked that. We have a being problem and a doing problem, and this is often why you feel defeated, why you feel doomed to stay stuck in your brokenness. Things like addictions and bad habits and frustrations, all of this is because of the issue of sin. Finally, sin disrupts our assignment. We lose what we were created to do. We lose our job. Our job is to show the world who God is and how much God loves them. And in this moment, our destiny is disrupted. And often this manifests in our life with some disillusionment and a sense of like, what's the point of life anyway? What a mess. Satan, our enemy, has twisted things up. Sin has brought brokenness into the world. Pain and problems, disease and death are now part of our reality. We have an enemy, and it's not our brother. It is Satan. And he has power because of our mistake. So the problem is, we were made for this particular purpose, to live in intimacy with God, to reflect Him to the world, to partner with Him in everyday life. And because of sin, that has been stolen from us and complicated by death. We need freedom from this mess. And so understanding this bigger problem is going to help us understand the story of Easter. Now, the goal of the Easter story is not to get out of trouble and get to heaven someday. The goal of Easter is to bring restoration and wholeness in every area that was affected. And so what that looks like is that the goal of Easter is a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we understand His lavish love. The goal of Easter is a renewed identity in Jesus, where we are no longer a loser plagued by sin, but we have been made new. The goal of Easter is a reestablishment of the destiny that God designed for us, a life of partnership with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when you understand the problem and the bigger goal, it's going to have an immediate impact on your life today. With these things restored, we become people living with the Holy Spirit, empowered to do everyday life, carrying with us the message of Easter, which is a message of victory that matters today, not just someday. We've established now, we've had this problem, we have this goal. Okay, so what's the solution? Well, this is where the victory of Jesus comes into play. The definition of victory, like if you looked in a dictionary, it is the overcoming of an enemy. I love this definition. Are you ready for some theology? I think you can handle it. And it's really important as we look at the fuller story of Easter, because there are multiple views of the atonement. Now, that is a big word that you might not be familiar with, but that is a word that describes what Jesus did when He died, rose, and then ascended to heaven. And a good way to think about it is at-one-ment, or being one with God. How we're reconciled to God. This is the restoration of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. And there are multiple views, but what we want to explore today is the view of what's called Christus Victor, which is Latin for Christ the Victor. And it encapsulates the victorious nature of what Jesus accomplished for us. Okay, so remember how I described in Genesis, we have this problem. Sin and death have entered through our disobedience. Satan, our enemy, has been given power as a result of these actions, and our relationship is fractured, our identity is hijacked, and our destiny disrupted. We now have an enemy on the field, and he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, which explains in part why life is so challenging. Satan is given dominion and power through our disobedience, and consequently, there is a cosmic conflict. There is a battle between good and evil. There is a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And this is where the people of Israel lived for centuries, and they were waiting for the Messiah to come. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son, Jesus. And this is what 1 John 3:8 says. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That was his assignment. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, bringing redemption and restoration for all that had been lost in the garden. You see, God's rescue plan was so much bigger than just the political savior that the Israelites thought it would be. This was a cosmic rescue plan that would bring victory over the enemy, which means that sin and death would need to be defeated. So how is Jesus going to do this? Well, the first part of his plan is shocking. He died. He died a brutal death on the cross. It was not the victory that his disciples and followers thought it would be. In fact, they were devastated and confused and divided. How could this happen? Wasn't he the one? Wasn't he going to change everything? How could his death not be defeat? So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to read about what this prophet wrote 700 years before Jesus would do this work. He's going to describe what Jesus did and why he did it. This is Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he, Jesus, was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the sins of all. Verse 11, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. What is Isaiah saying here? Jesus's death was not defeat. It was profound victory. He was pierced and crushed for us. He was beaten and whipped so that we could be whole and healed. You see, the only way to defeat sin was to take on sin. So Jesus took all the sin of the world upon himself and died so that we could be made right with God. What started on a tree ended on a tree. And what this scripture is telling us is that the righteous one is making it possible for us to become righteous, to be made right in relationship, to be made right in our identity. And let me tell you, when we read passages like this, many times we say, yes, Lord, I'm forgiven, but you know what this passage really means? You're forgiven and you're free. The fuller story of Easter is not just that you're forgiven, not just that you're out of trouble. Praise God you are out of trouble, but you are also free. You have been made new because the righteous one took your punishment. He died for you. On Calvary, Jesus faces the forces of evil head on, and he is victorious over sin through his sacrificial death. What does this mean? We're atoned. We are reconciled back to God through Jesus' work. But that wasn't the only thing that Jesus did, because what Jesus is going to do next is he is going to rise. And the fuller story of Easter is that he was victorious over death. So let's go to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and let's just see what he says in verse 20. He says this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. So often, the Easter story, we shrink it down and we focus on the incredible work of the cross, which, yes, the cross is incredible, but that is only part of the story. The second part of the story is that he rose to life again. This scripture tells us that, you know, through Adam, death entered the world, but through Jesus, life has now entered the world. And Jesus's resurrection is a victory over death. Death could not hold him. It had no claim on him. So now sin has been dealt with, and now death is dead. This means that we will live forever, that we will have eternal life. But you know what? The fuller story of Easter is that it's not eternal life someday. It is eternal life now. It is eternal life today. Because when Jesus came, he brought with him the kingdom of God. And what that means is that we can experience the future now. We can experience wholeness and healing and hope right now. The message of Jesus is not a far-off victory. It is victory today. In the midst of life, whether that's pain or suffering, joy and goodness, the resurrection is real and the kingdom of God has come, and this makes a difference in our life today. Well, Paul's not done talking about the victory of resurrection. Let's go down to 15:54 and it says this, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death and the law gives sin its power, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of Easter. Through Jesus, we have victory over sin and death and the enemy. Death has been defeated, sin has been silenced, and we have a reason to praise. And so the question now becomes, how do we partake in this victory? Well, let's find out. Let's go to another passage of scripture. This is Colossians 2, and I'm gonna start in verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul speaking again, and he explains what happens when we believe in Jesus. He says this, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. This is a dense passage. It is miraculous, but trust me, this is the best news ever of the greatest victory ever. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying Jesus is God. He's saying that he is the Son of God, Son of Man, and that in him we are made complete. And then he gives us some pictures because he describes to us what happens when we believe in Jesus. And he loves to give us a good image. And the first metaphor is circumcision. And I have an image up on the screen to help us better understand that. I mean, that would have been awkward. I think you get the picture. And it's a graphic picture. It's a graphic picture of being cut. Your sinful nature has been cut out of you. You are no longer a sinner. You become a saint. Jesus defeated him, and because you're in him, you're no longer a sinner, you're a saint. Now, are you learning to live in that reality? Absolutely. And that's a journey each of us take. He's gonna keep pressing in for pictures. This time he talks about baptism, and to be baptized means to be united, to be immersed in something. Next week, we are celebrating water baptisms here, and you're all invited back. But when we come to Christ, what Paul is saying is we are united with him, and we're united into his death, and we're united with him into his resurrection. We were dead, and now we're alive. And that is what Paul is saying here. And all of this happens when we believe in Jesus and we put our trust in him. And then he like wants to re-explain the problem. He's like, problem, sin, death, enemy. And then he explains the victory. He's like, listen, Jesus has canceled these problems. He took our debt and he nailed it to the cross. He disarmed and he shamed the enemy through his victorious work on the cross. But it didn't just stop at the cross because death had no claim on him. Jesus emerges from the tomb in victory, demonstrating power over death. This isn't some far off distant victory that we get to enjoy someday. We get to participate in this victory today. What does that mean? What does the victorious life even look like right now? How can we live in the fullness of the Easter story? Well, the challenge is, for many of us, our lives often do not feel victorious. We feel defeated and discouraged and delayed, and we wonder, is the good news really good news? And we struggle, and we experience suffering, and we get confused, and we don't remember the full story. You know, when it comes to pain and suffering, I think we need to look at Jesus' story and see that his story was not without suffering. So it should not shock us as his followers that there will be many times that we celebrate the victory of Jesus while shedding tears and enduring exhaustion and grappling with grief, but we need to only look at our Savior who through suffering overcame and was victorious. I have three questions for you to ponder today. The first is, do you know that you are a beloved son or daughter, fully loved and accepted? If you're tired of striving and self-effort, I have good news for you today. God's victory means you are fully loved, you are welcome, and you belong. Do you understand that you've been made new? You're not who you used to be. You're no longer a sinner, you're a saint if you've said yes to Jesus. So if you're stuck in sin, whether that's sex or drugs or anger, you fill in the blank, there is hope because God's victory means that not only are you forgiven, but you're free. You are dead to sin and alive to God. Do you know that you have been designed for a job? You've been given a purpose. And so today, if you are feeling purposeless or directionless, God's victory makes it possible for you to be filled with hope and vision for the future. Now, this can be a lot to take in, truly. And we're all on a journey of learning and growing. And the best news is this, God is faithful and he's kind and the Holy Spirit is an amazing teacher. But this is the story of Easter. Through Jesus's death and resurrection, he secured victory over sin and death and the enemy. We've been restored to relationship with our Father. We've been given a brand new identity in Jesus. We've been reestablished in our destiny of partnering with the Holy Spirit in everyday life. Because of Jesus, we have victory, not just someday, but today. His victory is my victory. I'm beloved by my Father for who I am, his daughter, treasured and chosen, fully loved, not based on what I've done, but based on what he's done. Made free to simply be through his victory. Gone is the formula, now fueled by friendship, living in freedom and fullness. Goodbye, self-effort. Hello, Holy Spirit. The weight has been lifted. I am free to live in the victory that he paid for you, to live in the victory that he paid for me. We have a reason to praise.
I came to Christ when I was 12 years old. I started singing at church and found a purpose. But I thought that my actions would determine who I was. I am a believer who serves in church. That identity wasn't able to keep me away from sin. And getting to college made me want to try every relationship and party that the world had to offer me. Suddenly, my identity changed. I was a promiscuous party girl. After graduating, I was tired of trying to fill my void with that. So I repented, went back to church, and later became a small group leader. My identity now was a person who leads other people, until the moment that I saw myself suffering from depression and anxiety. Once again, my identity changed. Now I was the girl who attempted suicide. During all the struggles, I found someone to marry. I finally had a husband. A sign to people that I was loved and worthy of being a wife. And then that was my identity. I was a married woman. It didn't last much. After some years of abuse and infidelity, I filed for divorce and got my brand new identity. I was a divorced woman. It took me about 15 years to realize what Jesus conquered for me on the cross. Now I know that his victory on that day gave me a true identity that can never be taken away from me. And this identity doesn't depend on what I do or on what people think of me, but on who he says I am. And I am a beloved daughter with whom he is well pleased, and there are no orphans of God. Eu tenho uma razão para louvar.
I was raised around the Christian faith, but I was running from God because of a childhood trauma I experienced that haunted me. I came into a relationship with God in 2016, but my past continued to keep me in bondage because I didn't fully understand the victory I could experience in Christ. This went on for years. Then I had an encounter with Jesus in a Sozo prayer session that empowered me to forgive my abuser that same day. Since I felt freedom from my bondage of continuous spiritual attacks from the enemy. After all, thieves don't break into empty houses. Now I walk in freedom. I understand the love of the Father. I forgive because I am forgiven. Kounye ala, mwen gen rezon pou m loue.
2004年4月5号，我成为了一名基督徒。从那时候开始，我花了大量的心血在教会里。表面上看起来，好像是我牺牲了很多的时间、金钱和娱乐，但实际上，我知道所有投入在教会当中的这些时间都是值得的。当我回首反思这20年的时候，是耶稣 一直在陪伴我、带领我度过了这风风雨雨、高高低低的20年，我才是那个最大的受益者。认识耶稣之前，我把所有的重担都担在自己的肩上，常常感到疲惫和困惑。现在的我还是一样的努力工作和生活，但是因为有耶稣为我担重担，即便是在劳苦当中， 我还是能够感觉到轻松和愉悦。认识耶稣之前，我骄傲，很容易发怒和争论。现在的我更平安、平和，因为我知道没有人是完美的，只有耶稣是完美的。只有通过耶稣，人才能够摆脱罪的捆绑，才能够完善自己。认识耶稣之前，我是一个完全不一样的人。 是耶稣改变了我的世界观，从耶稣那里，我获得了很多的智慧和喜悦。更宝贵的是，我得到了对永生的盼望。Jesus, I have a good reason to praise you.
I understood what it meant to have victory in Jesus until I found myself surrounded by suffering. It didn't feel victorious when my son was born with a birth defect that resulted in him being unable to walk, and all of my prayers for his healing went unanswered. It didn't feel victorious when I experienced betrayal in my marriage. It didn't feel victorious when my mom was diagnosed with an incurable form of cancer. Where did I go wrong? I believed that being a Christian meant that I had some kind of spiritual insurance policy that prevented these kinds of painful circumstances. Well, my confusion sent me on a hunt to find answers, and what did I discover? I discovered rich truth found in the book of Romans. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces character, and character produces endurance, and endurance produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us, not someday, but today. Today, my son, while still not healed, is thriving. My marriage has been restored, and my mom, while still not cured, is in remission. The victory hasn't been in my circumstances changing, because truthfully, not all of them have changed. No, the victory has been in Christ with me through every moment, filling me with his love and his strength, and empowering me to find joy even in the midst of suffering. I have a reason to praise.